What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Operation Hero Talk, the number one podcast for the nerds, the nerdettes, the blurs, the blurdettes, and of course the weebs and the weebettes. It is your swagged out, well, not swagged out, your nerded, blurted out, swifty enthusiast, Dimitri Starks in the building, back with another great episode for you guys. Sorry, I've been away for a couple of weeks, been practicing for a step show. To those of you that don't know, I am in a fraternity. I'm a member, a proud member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, and I am getting ready to help my neos, and we're performing in a show next Saturday at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. So very excited for that. But it's just been taking up a lot of the kids' time. You know, I'm not here to cap with y'all, right? I'm not here to cap and be dishonest. Like, you know, I've been really busy, but at the same time, you know, just really been thinking about what content, what new heroes and villains I wanted to talk about. And that kind of led me to to today's character. So, well, when we think about DC, right? Because today is DC week, and I'm sorry, I did kind of get a little bit off track with the weeks. If I believe correctly, let me check my phone real quick. Uno momento, por favor. Spanish, by the way. So, yeah. Okay. See, so I was actually supposed to, 2 weeks ago when I put out the Thanos episode, it is available to listen to on all podcast platforms. Go ahead and check it out. The YouTube video is also available on YouTube if you want to check that out as well. If you prefer to listen that way, it's up to you, your choice. I don't judge, right? But the Thanos episode was actually supposed to be this week. I was supposed to drop a DC week, and I just kind of got a little spun around with that. I was very excited to talk about Thanos. My co-host of that week, Connell Patterson, me and him had a very great conversation, just, you know, about Thanos in general and about, you know, the complexity of that character and the differences between what we saw in the movies and what we read in the comic books and his childhood. So very good episode. Highly encourage you guys to listen to it. Of course, as the host, of course, I encourage it. So once again, that's available. It's on YouTube to watch and listen, or it's streaming on podcast platforms. You know, the main three, Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you don't live in this country and you listen via other podcasts, it is available in some other streams as well. And if you put those in the comments, if you put it in the comments where you're from, I'll see if my podcast streams in that area. So just let me know. All right. So with that being said, let's get into it. So episode 20. Who are we talking about today? Who's blessing us with his or her hashtag resist presence today? Well, in DC week, I decided I wanted to go a little bit out of the box. I wanted to bring a character that everybody knows, but I think is kind of honestly a little bit underrated in terms of just the, you know, not complexity, because I use that word too much, just in terms of the things he's accomplished and how he really is the one of three people to cause his hero, the hero that he fights, so much grief. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a man whose plans and schemes are literally more complex than post-pandemic taxes. We are talking about a man whose IQ is as high, shockingly, or higher, shockingly, as current gas prices. I am talking about Superman's own definitely a guy he definitely does not like. We are talking about the Green Man himself, Brainiac, in the building. Round of applause for Brainiac. So when I thought about Brainiac, I had to do a little bit of research on this character, because I've made I've told no lies. Excuse me. Sorry, I got hung up there for a second. I've told no lies about the fact that I am not the biggest DC fan. You know, I respect what the company has done. I respect the heroes, and I respect the OGs in the game. You got to respect the legends to appreciate who's here now, right? So, with that being said, didn't really know a lot about Brainiac. Superman Obviously, everybody and their mama and their grandmama and their great grandmama and their great 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 grandmama and their great 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 grandmama know about Superman, right? It was really the first, you know, superhero to be put on paper, really, when we think about it. And, you know, Brainiac is just as old as that. I believe he was in 1938, but we'll cover that in the origin moment. So why did I choose to talk about this character? Mainly because in reading some of the comics, I realized that, one, this guy brings the smoke, right, to Superman multiple ways. And not only that, but in one of the issues that I read, I saw that Supergirl, or Superwoman, whichever you prefer, she was actually afraid of him because of, you know, the damage, what he had did to Kandor. Obviously, we know about the man's, ultimate plan, what he tried to do. I think maybe what he's still continuing to do. I don't know. I think the issue that I read online was the most recent issue. So with that being said, let's just go deep into what we know. So what do we know about Brainiac, right? Highly intelligent. Basically a walking supercomputer. Basically thinks he's better than everybody else. He's smarter than everybody else. We've seen this type of character before, not just in superhero comics or movies. We've seen it in, you know, we've seen it in action dramas. Hell, we've seen it in Law and Orders, right? The villain that thinks he's so much smarter than everybody else that the fact that you could stop him never comes across to him. It never processes in his head. And that's what ultimately leads to his downfall every single time, right? Because it's not the things that you can predict, it's the things that you can't predict, right? So we think about the times that Superman has bested him. It's really been a matter of, yeah, oh, you didn't think I could do that. It's like, yeah, I mean, because I didn't think you were smart enough to do it. Really? I think, ladies and gentlemen, that Brainiac is a reflection of, it's less about his intelligence. But the more that I read about Brainiac, I realized that it was less about his intelligence and more about his ego. And this is a valuable lesson to take. This is a valuable lesson to take into your personal lives. You know, what is, and I'll cover this again in the origin moment, but what was his ultimate plan, right? His ultimate plan was to find major cities across the universe, shrink them, take them to one planet, regrow them, rule them. Now let's just think about this plan for a second, because it's totally moronic, right? For an intelligent person, this is a really stupid plan. Like, this is a very stupid plan. Because, okay. he shrunk cities with the thought process that once he got back to his home planet, which could be years, hundreds of years, right? Thousands of years, that they were just going to follow his rule automatically. And of course, that's not how things work here, right? Like, that's not how things work. We don't know what he would have been like as a ruler, thank the heavens. Although DC, if you're listening, that would be an interesting comic book. What if Brainiac had won, right? But the only way that plan works is, and I remember this, I remember reading this in the first appearance of Brainiac in Action Comics, when he had captured the major cities of Earth, and he was preparing to go into stasis to go head back to his home planet. And Superman ended up in Kandor, and he was talking to a guy in Kandor, and he was basically saying like, hey, you know, oh, it looks like he's about to go into stasis, and he's gonna go to sleep for 100 years. And Superman's like, damn. So by the time we get to the home planet, y'all won't even be alive. Now let's think about this for a second. Let's think about this. We don't know how long Brainiac has been doing this. And we don't know how many times he's went into stasis. So we don't know basically how old Kandor really is. So we don't know how many generations have gone past, right? We don't know. We know that this in the one individual in that beginning comic, we know that he had been observing for most of his adult life, because he was a scientist. He had been observing Brainiac, so he knew something's not right here. Something's not right here, right? I'm miniaturized. You are a complete dick, and you basically enslaved us. So, but there's no guarantee that that would carry on. That same idea would carry on through the next 100 years. Maybe they forget. Maybe they completely forget that they're enslaved, right? Maybe they just they forget, because there are differences, right, between how they were. Excuse me. There are differences, right, between how they were captured in the first appearance of Brainiac to the most recent one. I think it was in 2016. I'll confirm that, but the 2016 version, right? Where, you know, the cities could in the old comic, the cities could easily see each other. They could easily see that they were enslaved. In the new comic, he kind of had them on different levels, so they really couldn't see, right, that they were like where other cities were. He had them on like kind of like hanging, and they kind of looked like parakeet cages, right? So, you know, what I'm trying to say in all this is that with time going by, they could have forgotten who they were. That's a possibility, right? That's a big possibility. So you become used to enslaved, and then all of a sudden, I'm not saying that this is all a part of Brainiac's plan, but we don't know that it wasn't, right? All of a sudden, he brings their cities back to normal size. Behold, I, Brainiac, am the benevolent ruler who saved you. He could probably definitely pitch that, especially to Kandor, because remember, their planet was about to be destroyed, right? So he could have pitched that like, yeah, you guys are about to die. I saved you. I may not have done it in the best way. But remember, this is 100 years down the line. So he probably wouldn't even have to. He probably wouldn't even have to say that. He could just say, hey, your city was about to be destroyed because your planet was imploding. So I took it upon myself. I was just cruising by my giant spaceship. I saw y'all needed a hand, and what up? You know, I decided to do something about it. So he then goes from a tyrant and villain, which is what he is, because he is a killer, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get it twisted. He is a killer, right? To now, he's beloved by the people he supposedly saved, quote unquote, right? That's the only way it works, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way it works, because other than that, it's a very stupid plan. A very stupid plan. And I actually credit, to be honest with you, I actually credit the writers for that, because I think that's how they probably got around that, right? Because there's no way you're in the meeting room and you're thinking, well, yeah, his plan, yeah, we got this guy, and he's like this green little, this green Martian dude with a huge head, and like he's like a supercomputer, and he's gonna take these cities, and he's gonna shrink them, and he's gonna take them to his planet, and he's gonna grow them again, and he's gonna rule them. There had to be somebody in the room that said, well, but wait, they'll just remember that he shrunk them, and they'll rebel. So how does that work? the stasis mode takes care of that. Very simple solutions, right? Very simple solutions to complex problems. The simplest solution is the easiest one. It's the best one, right? So I just thought that was interesting, because when I was first reading about the Brainiac character, I was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And now that I think about it, this is what I love about having a podcast. I love doing YouTube. I love doing YouTube videos, but this is what I love about doing a podcast. I can look shit up while on the podcast. Actually, I do not need to look this up on my laptop, which is the same place I'm recording. So let me quit that. But I can actually look on my phone, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Okay, because I remember I played this game, but I never got into it. Really got into it. DC Universe Online. Now this was actually something that was pretty genius by the company, because you could download this game. I'm not sure if you could download it on Xbox, because I've never had an Xbox. But I knew you could download it on the PS5 for free. PS4, PS3, PS3. You could download it on the PS3 for free. And then you could purchase extra stuff, right? Now, being the experienced gamer that I am now, I'm not professional by any means, right? I don't make video games for money. Hell, I don't even do this for money. But you know, when I think back on, you know, that game, I think back on, man, like, it was a good story. And the best part about that story is that they made Brainiac the ultimate mastermind behind what happened, right? Because it was Brainiac's technology that Lex Luthor ultimately stole and then gave to humanity. It's kind of like similar to Prometheus bringing fire to humanity, right? A way for them to stay warm, to fight back, right? So you have normal people getting powers, and this is what led to the main character, which is the character you play, getting powers and then going and defeating all these villains, etc., etc. But we all remember the beginning. If you've ever played DC Universe Online, you remember the beginning of the movie where they were all fighting, right? It was Batman and Joker and Lex Luthor and Superman and Lex Luthor. The heroes took a big L, right? Because Black Adam basically blew everybody away. Joker killed Batman, hung him and killed him. Lex Luthor killed Superman. The villains were gone. I mean, the heroes were gone, right? And so now, you know, Lex Luthor thinks he's won, and then out of nowhere, we see Brainiac ships, and then we realize, the heroes are gone. So I guess the villains are the heroes. No, they took an L immediately, almost immediately. Right. But to make the point I'm trying to make in saying that is that to make Brainiac the mastermind of that, it made sense because when we think about, Let's compare him to a Marvel character, right? Let's compare him to Thanos. You think about Thanos. Thanos was the one with the armada, right? I think Dr. Doom ended up having an armada as well. He's definitely getting his own episode. I freaking love Doom. But you know, especially in the cinematic universe, who has an army? Who has the unlimited resources? Thanos. Who has the army? Who has the unlimited resources? Brainiac. You're getting what I'm putting, you're picking up what I'm putting down, to use the 60s and 70s term here. Yes, if you immediately understood what that saying was, you're old. Don't be ashamed of it. Okay? Don't be ashamed of it. Okay? Be proud. All right? Be proud. But either way, yeah, very interesting, right? So why make why make Brainiac the main villain in that video game? And also, why make him one of the big three for Superman? Guys, you've heard me say it a million and one times. Yes, Doomsday did kill Superman, but he's not in the big three. He's not. Because there's no complexity to that character. Even his origin story isn't complex. He was just bred to kill. That's literally all. So it's not even, so it's really just a situation where it's like, meh. I mean, Superman in general, meh. Mid, in my opinion. The villains, mid, in my opinion. So I think you have to have this. I think this is a situation where this has to happen. Because Brainiac is one of those guys that is one of those villains where I think, and obviously I'm just stating my opinion here. I think that, okay, we got Darkseid. We got Darkseid. He's really the, sorry, car drove past. We got Darkseid. He's okay. I guess he's the main guy. We got Lex Luthor. He's the human that's still dangerous. And then we got Brainiac. He's the super intelligent computer. I think, strength, money, logic, intelligence, simple ideas, for a simple really character. Guys, the mission is simple. The character in a lot of ways is simple, right? It's especially, once again, for a comic this old. I've already been through this in the first episode, Superman, go check it out. But we're talking about a villain that's old guys, like old. The only thing really they updated was the look, right? So in terms of, you know, what, before we go on break, let's just talk about what they could do with this character. I personally don't know. We'll get into the movies a little bit more. I'll tell you about some of the TV and movie appearances of Brainiac that I've seen, and what I thought about them. And then we'll go into kind of like the future of the character in the DC Cinematic Universe, because I think he ultimately is going to make an appearance. We're all waiting for it. But with that being said, here's what I think. I think that with Brainiac, you have a villain who's mission was so simple that you really honestly couldn't change it over time, because it would appear copied, corny. It would appear like, okay, so he was just, this was his mission, this was his goal, his ambition was to shrink city, take home, blow up, rule. That was his goals, right? Those were his goals at first. And so now what we have is universe domination. No, it don't work like that. Like it don't work like that at all. Like you can't jump from A to Z just like that. Like I don't think enough time has been spent developing the character over the years. They really don't. Like I said, the only thing that's really been developed is the look, but the mission has remained the same. The intellect has remained the same, super high, right? I think the one of the cool things I will say that is a feather in his cap is when I read the revamp. When I read the revamped version of Brainiac, and I was reading it, and I saw the part where Superman was like, you know, ah, Brainiac again, and then, you know, he defeats his robotic lackeys, and then he talks to Supergirl, and he's like, remember this, the Brainiacs you defeated in the past, that wasn't really Brainiac. Nobody actually knows what he looks like, because he's never actually appeared. himself. And I'm like, I did not think about that. That is actually very smart, right? Because remember, we're talking about the most intelligent organism in the universe, right? Possibly. I don't know if there's somebody else smarter. I have no idea. But we're talking about that, him, and yeah, he. Why would he need to show himself, right? He could just build and build and build and destroy and destroy and destroy to get his way. And if you think I'm wrong, you're in denial, denial, denial. I'm just saying, everybody. Like, I thought that that was a very interesting. Of his dynamic, right? So, with that being said, Actually, I like that it's 25 minutes in. I think I'm gonna keep it this way. See, developing the podcast all the time, ladies and gentlemen. But I think so. At 25 minutes now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the origin moment. Brainiac was created by Otto Binder and Al Pastino. His first appearance in DC Comics was in 1958 in Action Comics number 242. Now, honestly, guys, this guy looked like a... Okay, if you've ever seen... Okay, I'm usually not good at ribbing, but this kind of just gets... This kind of is deserved. They have this man looking like... Do y'all remember The Wizard of Oz? And before they revealed what Oz really looked like, that big, huge, green head that he tried to present himself as in the fire. Like the big, huge, alien green head. That's what he looked like. Like, that's literally what he looked like. Like, he looked... Just terrible. Yes, just terrible. He looked like Mr. Beans if Mr. Beans was green. Okay, so that's exactly what he looked like. So when he was first introduced, the story was basically, it's a pretty simple one. Like I explained earlier, one that really hasn't changed. He had this protective force field around him and his ship, and Superman was having a hard time destroying it or getting in. So he ended up shrinking down with one of the cities that he eventually shrunk, and that's how he got inside the ship and eventually stopped Brainiac. So Brainiac's mission, his goal was basically just to shrink all the major cities in every universe on every planet so that he could take them back to his home planet, resize them, and then rule over them as their ruler. This character has been adapted many times. Oh, not adapted. It's been portrayed a couple times. I think he's definitely one of the big three in the Superman universe. He is definitely not a pillar of the DCU at all. We've already talked about, you know, who's in there. I think you have Batman, you have Harley Quinn. Check out the Harley Quinn episode. And then you can make an argument for third place. I personally think that if you force me, I'll say Superman. If you force me. But I'm gonna say Joker. I mean, really. I mean, even though he's never really, besides the Joaquin Phoenix movies, he's never gotten his own movie. I mean, the Joker's a Heath set the bar. You know, the Joker is a pillar of the DCU. So with that being said, let's get back to Brainiac. Thank you. in the beginning, he was really just used as a plot device. Like, basically, they inserted him in when they needed just something to fill up the pages for like 2 to 3 pages. He wasn't really a premier villain. But as time went on and, you know, the look developed and, you know, he eventually became, you know, a bigger part of the story. He became a bigger part of DC in general. Interestingly enough, he was actually ranked as the 17th greatest villain of all time by IGN. I don't know what IGN is smoking, but 17 is a little high for Brainiac. I'm sorry. 17 is not a chance in hell. Maybe I'll give you this. He's in my top 50. I'll give you top 50. But top 20? Never. That has got to be on reputation of the name alone. And that is all. It has to be. Guys, if I'm wrong, put it in the comments. Let me know. Please state your case, because I'm actually genuinely interested in reading about what you guys have to say about this. Because I personally don't see 17 being... No, not a chance in heck. But that's just me. But with that being said, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some of the, you know, portrayals of Brainiac in movies, television, my thoughts about them, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like, what I, you know, would like to see in the future, how I think they can save this character. The character doesn't really need to be saved, but how I think they can make this character a little bit more darker and, you know, basically modernize him. Let's say that, how they can modernize him. So stay tuned. Be right back. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 20 of the Operation Hero Talk podcast, where we are going over Brainiac, the mad, intelligent man himself. Yeah, I don't think he's mad. He's just logical, which is oftentimes his shortcoming. So let's just dive right into it. In order to prep for this episode, I went and watched it was 10 episodes. Yeah, it was 10. It was 10. I kind of sped through these episodes. It was 10 episodes of Krypton television series. Not bad, actually. I actually did kind of like it. I thought playing up out the political aspects of the show and, dealing with the politics of is the planet going to explode? Is it not going to? Do we believe Seg-El? Do we not believe Seg-El? You know, him, you know, operating with the same people who ostracized him, you know, basically who said, no, you're crazy. And now when they discover, oh, he's true. Oh, now we got to work with him. I thought that was pretty good. But this isn't about Seg-El. This is about Brainiac. And I thought that Blake Ritson's portrayal of Brainiac was actually pretty good. Very cold, very calculating being. I thought that, you know, he betrayed that character just right. Right. Honestly, guys. Really the only real life portrayal of Brainiac that I've personally seen. And the rest has just been in cartoons. So with that being said, how do you portray a guy like Brainiac in a movie or TV show? In the movie DCU that's coming, so what would you guys like to see? I'm interested. Put it in the comments on what you think this character should look like, what you think he should act like. If we're being real, I think they need to seriously consider giving Brainiac a new origin story. It needs to be considered. The shrinking of cities, it's just so old and dated. We know the story. We know about Kandor. We know what happened. We're tired of listening to it. We're tired of watching it. Let's think of something. This guy is a walking MacBook. Okay? And I'm not saying that as a insult against him. MacBooks are frustratingly complicated, at least for me. I'm an old soul. But at the end of it, I say that as I have a MacBook Air currently powering this episode right now. So, you know, but that's neither here nor there. Cold, calculating, ruthless. I think that that's what I need to see in the DCU, right? One of the mistakes that I've noticed, and this is just my opinion, in the DCU is that they're kind of trying to make it too dark. And in making the stories and the characters themselves too dark and making the movies too long, right? I think that I'll give you a great example. The new Batman movie. The new Batman movie was 3 hours long, right? Now, first of all, I love this movie, but I'm gonna get through this point quick because we're not talking about Batman. We're talking about Brainiac. I'm gonna get through this point quick though. So this movie was 3 hours long, right? To any normal person, way too long of a movie if you're not Lord of the Rings. But low-key, though. The story made it so interesting that you could have sat there for another 30 minutes. Think about it. The next Batman movie is not going to be 3 hours long, right? So it was a gamble because you don't know how people are going to receive the story. Now, most of the reviews I've seen have been positive. Most of the people I've talked to have been positive about the movie. You got the occasional person that didn't like the movie. That's their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. That's okay. But for the most part, people love it. But that was a huge gamble. Think about it. That was a huge gamble to make that movie that long with an untested story. Remember, this is basically like Batman Year One, the cartoon movie. And so what we have is a young Batman who's still, you know, the supervillains are really still coming into their own and they're yet to be discovered. And so what you really have is him actually in the younger days still being a detective. That's what we have here. We have him being a detective. But we didn't know how that was going to take, but it ended up taking very well. That's neither here nor there. So now let's relate this back to Brainiac. I think that one of the mistakes that we've seen with DC movies is that too dark, movies are too long for no reason when they haven't earned the right to be that long. The anticipation has not been there, right? So how do we fix that with Brainiac? Well, could you have him being more ruthless? Maybe. It could work, but there are pros and cons to that. To the people who have been reading Superman comics, who know about the Brainiac character, that could rub them the wrong way because they're like, y'all just trying to make this guy more relatable to today's audience. So I'm not feeling that. But at the same time, if you keep him the way he is, the newer generation, they won't like it. They'll think he's boring. A highly intelligent supercomputer, an alien being that's super intelligent that thinks he's better than anybody. Can you give me Thanos mixed with Ultron? Seriously. That's what he basically becomes, right? So you can't do that. So you have to approach this character carefully is what I'm saying. Right, I think Blake Riston did an amazing job in the show because, you know, he was once again cold, calculating. You could see where it's like, okay, you know what? If Brainiac was a real villain, yeah, this is exactly how he would act. Right? This is exactly how he would act because he would be like, you know, basically do what's going to be in the best interest for me? Krypton is falling apart. You know, how does that serve my interest? Does it benefit me to make alliances? Does it benefit me to just kill everybody? Whatever decision I make, know that it was logical, right? It's the illogical. It's like the things that he doesn't see coming that always gets him, right? The things that he can't predict, the things that he's always thinking there's no logical way that should happen, right? I think that in order to, obviously we can't have Blake Wriston playing, you know, Brainiac in the DCU. We can't do that. You're gonna need a new one. I'll tell you something that could work. This is just me. I think that if you potentially brought in the Lex Luthor Brainiac mix, that could potentially work. That could work. I know a lot of people didn't like the Lex Luthor character. I wasn't the biggest fan either. But I think it could work though, because now not only are you validating a little bit Brainiac's character, you're simplifying it. So, and I think people would appreciate that. Basically taking the idea of Brainiac, maybe he's just tapping into Earth systems, and that's how he ends up communicating with Lex Luthor, and then they end up combining. But remember, Brainiac is actually far, far away, and maybe he's coming with that armada. Maybe he's the next big villain, right? So you have room for development here, right? There's room for this, right? So he could be using Lex Luthor as a pawn to have his ambitions, eventually, brought to fruition. So I think that could work there in that instance, right? But other than that, I mean, honestly, guys, I don't know where they're gonna go with the character. I don't know what you're gonna see. But I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. So moving on for most of the time that I've observed Brainiac as far as on TV, it was in the TV show that everybody knows about, the Legendary Superman TV show. And no, I'm for damn sure not talking about the show with Dean Cain. Get that thought out your head right now. I'm talking about the cartoon show. Thank you very much. And I just think that show was just good. It was just good. Like, whether you're a fan, a Superman fan or not, the show was good, right? And I actually remember, see, this is where being on a podcast comes in handy. Let me look and see, because I think there was an episode where Lex Luthor actually tried to bring back, Brainiac, but he ended up bringing back Darkseid, which was actually pretty funny. Yeah, Lex Luthor resurrects Darkseid, Justice League Unlimited. So basically, he ended up trying to resurrect Brainiac so that he could merge with him, I'm assuming. I don't remember the full details of that episode, but something went wrong and he ended up resurrecting Darkseid, and then he ended up stopping him with the anti-life equation. Go check it out if you got a little bit of time to stroll down memory lane. A little pitchy, but we're good. But actually, let me look this. Let me just look this up real quick. That's another thing I appreciate about the show. It was ruthless. So basically what happened was that they were trying to that Lex Luthor was trying to bring back Brainiac so that he could merge with him. And then he ends up bringing back Darkseid on accident. And then Metron tried to warn him. He said, "You don't know what you're doing." And this is something I hate about warners. I'll call them that. Warners. People who warn villains or heroes about their actions and what it's going to take. You seriously can't just tell them? Seriously. Hey, Lex, how you doing, man? Metron, Explorer, and Chronicler. Look, what you're about to do is very stupid because you're not going to bring back Brainiac. You're going to bring back Darkseid. All right, holla at you. Do what you got to do. That's it. It's as simple as that. Okay, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping, but I really want to know what you guys thought about. I really want to know what you guys thought about the Brainiac character. You know, what did you think about the Brainiac character in general? Do you think that his story can be improved upon? Do you think that, you know, it's really like it's whatever? You know, I really want to know, you know, how you guys view the villain as a whole. And what I really want to know is if you guys, this is what I'm honestly interested in. Do you guys seriously believe that he is the 17th greatest villain of all time, as ranked by IGN? Please let me know, because that's what I'm interested in, because mine is a flat out no. Okay? No. Not a chance. Right? This man is Marvin the Martian Manhunter with purple lights on the top of his head. That's all he is. Seriously. like literally. I mean, that's just me. I'm not being mean. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just keeping it a buck. Okay. But with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and end this, you know, short episode this week. You know, I'm getting back into the groove of things. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get my way back to, you know, doing these hour episodes. You know, just like I said, guys, some characters have a lot of history, some don't. So to the ones that don't, it's gonna be short episodes. But I'll try to make it at least 30 minutes. You know, at least 30 minutes. Something you can listen to, you know, on your way to work, or you know, on your way to the club if you're a strange one. but either way, you know, I'll try to make sure that this is, you know, keep this program interesting, keep this program something, you know, that you guys really, you know, want to see. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close this out. If you are watching this on YouTube, please hit the bell. Hit the bell so you'll know when we drop a video, and hit the subscribe button, trying to get those subscribers up. If you are listening to this on a podcast platform, go ahead and add the podcast to your library so that you'll know, so that it'll automatically download when a episode is made, which we are trying to do weekly. Follow me on social media. I am on TikTok at Train, TRANE003, and at Operation Hero Talk, one word, all lowercase. Also, I'm on Instagram, Operation Hero Talk, and on Facebook, Operation Hero Talk. So when you get a chance, hit me with a follow, hit me with a like, let me know what type of videos that you guys, episodes that, you know, that you guys would like to listen to, what villains or heroes you want me to cover, because I can cover them all. Trust me, when it comes to this, I can bang with the best of them. Okay. I can talk for days. All right. It's one of the reasons why I have a podcast, because my wife was tired of me talking about it to her. So I decided that I didn't know you guys, you know, so, you know, just, you know, we're family here, hopefully. But with that being said, I will see you guys next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a happy, productive week. And, as always, ladies and gentlemen, stay swifty. Peace.